Today's Amud is Sukkah Nun Gimel Amud Beis. We're holding on Nun Gimel Amud Aleph, seven lines on the bottom, by the two dots, Chamesh Asrei Mailos. So the Mishnah mentioned, it discussed the process of Nisuch HaMayim, and it described how in the beginning of the day, so you had two Kehanim that would go and leave the Azara, and they would go down 15 steps into the Ezras Nashim, eventually heading out of onto Harabayis to the Shiloyach and filling up water for the Nisuch HaMayim. And the Mishnah, when it mentioned these 15 steps, so the Mishnah said that the 15 steps are connected the 15 times in Tehillim that David HaMelech said, Shir HaMalis. There are 15 different prakim of Tehillim that start with Shir HaMalis. And so these 15 steps are connected those Chamesh Esrei, those 15 Shir HaMalis. The Gemara now is going to tell us a different pshat in the 15 Shir HaMalis, that they're connected, David HaMelech said, these 15 Shir HaMalis connected something else. So it says the Gemara, Amar Le Rav Chista, Rav Chista said, "Lahu midrabanan to a certain one of the rabbanon, the havi kamisader agadita kameh that used to organize agadita in front of him. So he sold. He said to this, 'Lahu midrabanan.' Amarla, he said to him, 'Shmielach, have you ever heard? Hani chamish esrei mailos. These 15 shir hamailos that David HaMelech says in Tehillim. Kenegin mi amram David. So why did David HaMelech specifically say these 15 shir hamailos?" So Amarle, so this Ahu Midrabanan, he said back to Rav Chista, that Hachi Amar Rabbi Yechdan. Now Rabbi Yechdan explained as follows, that Bishah Shakara David Shisen, when David HaMelech dug out the Shisen to pour the water and the wine for Nisuch HaMayim and Nisuch HaYayin, when David HaMelech made these holes, now Rashi already picks up on the fact that that's not so simple that David HaMelech made these holes. Don't we say Barashis that the Kadosh Baruch Hu created these holes already from Shesis Mei Breishis? So it could be that Rabbi Yechdan argues on that, or it could be that even though the holes were created during Shesis Mei Breishis, HaKadosh Baruch Hu made the holes then, but they were filled up, and then David HaMelech redug them, which would be a very interesting thing to try to explain, B'derech Machshava, why HaKadosh Baruch Hu, obviously, who knew it would get filled up, dug these holes, Shesh Mei Breishis, knowing they would get filled up again, and then David HaMelech was in charge of redigging them, but Al-Gabanim, that's what happened. So David HaMelech was redigging these holes, or digging these holes for the first time, and Kafa Tohaima. And what happened was, as he was digging very deep, so the Tahaim, the waters in the depths of the earth, it started going upwards. Ubay lemishtafa alma, and it was rising and rising, and it was getting ready to flood the entire world. So it was a sakana. So Amar David, so David HaMelech said, Chamish Esrei Mailos, he said these 15 Shir HaMailos, Vohiridon, and by saying these 15 Shir HaMailos, he lowered the waters. So that's what this Ahum Midrabanan said in the name of Rabbi Yechanan. Now Rabbi Yechanan explained that the 15 Shir HaMailos are Keneged, David HaMelech said them when the waters of the Tahaim were rising at the time when he dug these Shisim. However, says the Gemara, if that's the story behind the 15 Shir HaMailos, so then Chamesh Esrei Mailos, why would David HaMelech say 15 Mailos, a lashon of bringing up, Yardais Mi'ubayilei? He was coming to bring the water down, so it should have been Chamesh Esrei Shir HaYardais Mi'ubayilei. So Amar Lei, so Rav Chista said to the Sahu Midrabanan, that even though I don't think your pshat is correct, because if your pshat was correct, then it would be called the Chamesh Esrei Shir HaYardais, Ashir HaYardois, not Shir HaMalois, but still Hayovid Kartan Milsa Hachi Itmar. Once you mentioned this idea of David HaMelech digging the Shisin, so you reminded me, and now I'm actually remembering what the Pshat actually is, what Rabbi Yechanan really said. That this is what was really said. That Bishah Shakara David Shisin, you got the beginning of the story correctly. What happened was is that when David HaMelech, when he was digging or redigging the Shisin, so Kafa Tohaima Uba Lemishtafa Alma, so the Tohaim, it started rising, and it wanted to flood the entire world. It was going to flood the whole world. So Amar David, David HaMelech announced, he said, Mi'ika diyada, is there anybody who knows? I have a halachic shayla. Does anybody know the halacha? Ishari lemichtav shem achasva. Am I allowed to write Ashkadosh Baruch Hu's holy name on a piece of earthenware? V'nishtye b'tohayma umanach. And I'll put it into the tohaim. And for sure, that will plug up the holes and that's going to stop the water from flooding the world. So David HaMelech knew somehow that this type of segula, this type of thing would work. his shaila was just a shaila in terms of the halachos of mechikas Hashem, in terms of erasing Hashem's name. Am I allowed to do such a thing? Am I allowed to write Hashem's name on a piece of pottery that's then going to get erased by this water? It will stop the water. It will save all of us. Is that halachically permissible? And the kasha the achrayim ask is that if it's sakanas nefashos, so then of course it's mutter. If the water is going to flood the entire world, so then what was David HaMelech shaila? So the Aruch HaNer explains that perhaps David HaMelech was mesupik that maybe Mechikas Hashem is like Chilul Hashem. And just like Chilul Hashem, a person has to give up his life not to be Mechal Shem Shemayim, so maybe a person has to give up his life not to erase Hashem's name as well. Or the Daiviv Misharim in Shuvas and Chilik Aleph, Simon Kuf Yod Dalid, he explains based off of the Shita of the Rambam, I believe it is, that says that you're not allowed to be Mechal Shabbos, you're not allowed to be over on an Isser for a refuah that works Ba'ifen Siguli. It's not a physical thing, it's a Sigula, let's say writing a Kameya, things like that. So, David HaMelech had a similar type of Shiloh. This is something which works Ba'ifen Siguli. It's not a something which could be explained in a science textbook, but he knew that if you would write Hashem's name on this piece of pottery, put it in the sheath and it would stop the waters. He wanted to know, could you do a refuah siguli and be meichik shem Hashem in order to do that? So anyways, David HaMelech had this shiloh, is he allowed to do this? And leka duka amar le midi. L'maisa, nobody told him what the halacha is. Nobody spoke up. Everyone remained quiet. So Amar David had enough. And he said like this. He said, Kol d'yada l'meimar, anybody who knows the tshuva to this shaila, anybody who knows the halacha, ve'inu aimer, and he's saying, oh, he doesn't want to say, he doesn't want to speak up, yechanik b'grayne, I'm giving him a curse right now that he should choke, that he should strangle, that he should die a death of chenek, of strangulation, because it's mida k'nega mida. If he doesn't speak up, we're all going to strangle to death, we're all going to die, and we're all going to get flooded by the waters. So therefore, David HaMelech cursed that if somebody knows the halacha and he's not speaking up, so yechanik b'grayne. L'maisa nasa achitayfel kavuchaymer ba'atzmai. Achitayfel figured out the halacha. He said the following kavuchaymer, that umah lasais shalom bein ish l'ishtai, we find by the saita. When it comes to the saita, so in order to prove that she's innocent, the way we figure out whether or not she's innocent or not, is we write down the Shem Hashem, the Parsha Saita, and we put it into water, so the Shem Hashem gets erased. So what do you see from here? That in order, we're hoping that she's going to be innocent, she's not going to explode, and then her husband will know for sure that she didn't do anything wrong. So you see that for the sake of making Shalom Bein Ish L'Ishtai, Amra Taira Shmi Shenichta B'Kedusha, Yimache Alamayim, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, my holy name, should it be erased through the water? So in order to make Shalom Bein Ish L'Ishtai, it's so important, Hashem says that that's Daicha Mechika Shem Hashem. So lastly, Shalom Echol Eilam Kulay, to make Shalom for the whole world, that there should be a world, that the world shouldn't flood. Alachas Kama V'Kama, all the more so, so then we're allowed to be Meichik Shem Hashem. So Amar Lei, so Achitayfel said to David HaMelech, Shari, you're allowed to do it. He had this Kavuchaymer, perhaps he explained it to him where he was coming from, and Lamaisa, he told David HaMelech, Shari, that it's mutter to do what you suggested. So Lamaisa Kasav Shema Chaspa, he wrote the Shem Hashem on a piece of pottery, Veshadi Latohaima, Venachis Tohaima, Shisar Alfe Garmide. Lamaisa, he put it in the Tohaim, and it did, it plugged up the Tohaim, but not only did it plug it up, it had the reverse effect. Venachis Tohaima, Shisar Alfe Garmide. The Tohaim went down, it went down 16,000 garmideis ames. It went down 16,000 ames. It went mamish the opposite direction. It went running away. So now the water was very far away from the surface of the earth. So kichaze denachis tuva, when David HaMelech saw this, that the water went down a little bit too much, so Amar, so David HaMelech said, that kama de midlei tfei mirtav alma. That when it's a little bit raised up, so then the water, then the world has some moisture to it. Now it's already too low. So Amar Chamesh Esrei Mailois, he said the 15 Shir Hamalois, Va'askei Chameser Alfei Garmide, and that lifted up the waters of the Tohaim, 15,000 Amos, so now it was just 1,000 Amos away, Va'ukmei Ba'alfei Garmide, and now stood 1,000 Amos away, which apparently that was the right amount, just the right amount of how far away these waters are supposed to be. So that's what it means that David HaMelech said the 15 Shir HaMal is connected this story of the Shisa that Rabbi Yochanan spoke about. Rav Chisda said back to this Ahumid Rabbanan that this is really the story. You reminded me that this is really what happened. That's when David HaMelech said these 15 Shir HaMalis. Now we understand why it's called Shir HaMalis and not Shir HaYardais, because he said these Shir HaMalis to lift up the water once they went down a little bit too far. As a postscript to the story, so Amar Ula says that Shma Mina Sumcha Da'ara Alfei Garmide. Now you can see from this story that the thickness of the earth is 1,000 amos, meaning if you want to know how far it is to get to the Tahaim, from the surface of the earth till the Tahaim, it's 1,000 amos. That's what we're left off with at the end of the story. However, ask the Gemara, V'chazinan, but we see in Metzias, D'charinan Porta, a person just digs a little bit into the ground, definitely not 1,000 amos, and what happens is v'nafke maya, and he could reach water. A person could dig into the ground and reach water without going 1,000 amos into the ground. So how does that make sense with the story that we just said? So it says the Gemara, Amar of Misharshia, Hahu Misulma Difras. That which you reach water when you dig into the ground, even though you're not yet 1,000 amos into the ground, it's because that's not the waters of the Tahaim. The Tahaim in Echanami, that's 1,000 amos deep into the ground. When you dig and you find water, Hahu Misulma Difras. That water is coming, the source of that water is from the Euphrates River, it's from Nahar Paras, it's not from the Tahaim. The Mishnah said, "Va'amdu kehanim b'shar ha'elyon sheyoyred." We mentioned that these kehanim, so they stood by the shar ha'elyon, by the shar nikanor. They blew the shofar, and then they started going down. They went down 10 steps. So, boy, Rabbi Yirmiyah asked the shayla, "Lamaila asiris?" When it says they went to the 10th step, the Mishnah says they went to the 10th step. So, what's considered the 10th step? Does that mean lamaila asiris denachis chamisha? The 10th step means that they went down 5 steps. So, if you're counting from the bottom steps until the top, it's the 10th step. V'kaya asara, that's considered standing on the 10th step. Aydilma, or perhaps what it means to stand on the 10th step is the nachas asara. You start counting from the top. The 10th step is from the top 10 steps downwards. V'kaya chamisha, which is really the 5th step if you're counting from the bottom. So says the Gemara Teiku, it's not clear what it means that they went to the 10th step. Is the 10th step from the bottom, or is it the 10th step from the top? Says the Gemara Vayter, Tan Rabbanan, we learned in the Braisa, so the Mishnah continued and it said that they then went through the entire Ezos Nashim, they got to the Shar that exited from the Ezos Nashim to the Harabayis, and they turned around, and they faced it westward, they faced it towards the Heichal, and they said about our fathers, they were Avdei Avodah Zarah, they said Ufneihem Kedma, they turned their face to the east, and they had their backs towards the Heichal, but we, Anu Lekai Inenu. That's what they said as they left the Ezras Nashim. So the Gemara now is going to pick up on these two things that they said. First of all, they spoke about the fact that their fathers, who were Avdei Avodah Zarah, they faced to the east and they had their backs to the west. And then the second part of what they said, that they announced about themselves, Anu Lekai, Lekai Inenu, will speak about both of these two things that they said. So first, on the first part, says the Gemara, Tan Rabbanu, we learned in the Braisa, just regarding this statement, Mimashma Shenemar, once the Pasuk says, Ufnehim Kedma, that they faced eastward, Sa'eni Idea, don't I already know by definition, Sha'achayreyam Aleichal Hashem, if you're going out of the Beis HaMikdash and you're facing eastward, so then by definition, your backs are towards the Heichal, your back is towards the west. So why does the Pasuk have to speak out that their backs were towards the Heichal? That's obvious. Why does the Pasuk stress it? Melamed is coming to teach us that not only were their backs facing the west, but Shahayu Pyrin Atzman Umasrizin Klapemata. The Mamish did something disgusting that they relieved themselves, they revealed themselves, they relieved themselves towards the Heichal. That's what's referred to when it says that their backs were towards the Heichal. That's obvious. If you're facing east, when you're walking out, your backs are towards the Heichal. It's coming to stress how far that they went. Now, regarding the second thing that these Kohanim announced as they left the Beis HaMikdash to go fill up the water for the Nisach HaMayim, they said, Anu Luka Luka Inenu. So says the Gemara, Eini, could they really have said such a thing? Anu lukau lukai einenu v'amar Reb Zeira. But Reb Zeira once said that kola ayimer shema shema, if a person, when saying shema, he says the word shema shema two times in a row like that, back to back, it's ki'ilu amar maidim maidim, that's like the person who says maidim maidim, which the Gemara in Brachai says is considered, it looks as if a person is saying that there's two HaKadosh Baruch Hu's chas v'sham, because he's saying maidim maidim, it sounds like he's thanking two different Roshuyos. So Reb Zeira was mechadeh that not only by maidim is that true, but who I did by shema. If a person says shema shema, so that gives the appearance that he's saying that there are chas v'sham two Roshuyos. And so the Gemara is asking that just like Reb Zeira added that it's lav dafka maidim maidim hu adin shema shema, so l'chayra hu adin also that there should be a problem with saying anu l'kau l'kau einenu. That also gives the mashmais, like you're saying maybe that there's two Roshuyos chas v'sham. We are to Hashem, and to Hashem are our eyes. So why are you saying to Hashem twice? It sounds almost like you're saying chas v'sham that there are two Roshuyos. So how were they allowed to say such a nusach? Says the Gemara, Elihachi Amri, this is what they were saying. That Hema Mishtachvim Kedma. They, our fathers, they bow towards the east, towards the sun. V'anu l'ka. But we were always to Hashem. In the past, we've always been to Hashem. V'inenu l'ka miachlois. And our eyes look with hope towards Hashem, meaning in the future also. So we always were to Hashem, and we always will be to Hashem. So then, when you say it like that, it's two different ideas that are being expressed. We were to Hashem, we are to Hashem, that's who our hope is in. Being that it's two separate ideas, so then there's no problem of Shema Shema and Maidim Maidim. The problem is when you say the same thing twice, so then why would you say it twice? That gives the appearance, like you're saying, Chas V'Shalom, there's two Roshuyos. Here, being that they were expressing two different ideas, so it doesn't have that appearance. Says the Mishnah Vayter. So we mentioned the tekiyos that they blew when they were leaving the Beis HaMikdash. We mentioned tekiyos that they did during the Nisach, during the, when they put up the Aravos onto the Mizbeach. We had that in the Mishnah, Memheim and Aleph. So now the Mishnah is going to discuss now just other general tekiyos that they had in the Beis HaMikdash throughout the year. Nothing really specifically to do with Masech HaSukkah, but agav that we mentioned these different tekiyos. So the Mishnah now is going to discuss the process of the tekiyos that they had daily in the Beis HaMikdash. The Torah tells us of Yom Simchaschem of Mayadechem Roshi Chodshechem Utskatem Bechatzroitzes Alalaisechem Valzivche Shalmechem, that every day in the Beis HaMikdash there's supposed to be tekiyos. You're supposed to blow shofar. How many tekiyos? That's what's going to be discussed in our Mishnah. So says the Mishnah, there was never less than 21 tekiyos in the Beis HaMikdash. Never did a day go by where there weren't 21 blasts. And there was never more than 48. Now when we say tekiyos, we don't mean literally tekiyos. We mean tekiya, trua, tekiya. That counts as three, as it's going to be explained soon. So there was never less than 21, meaning seven sets of three, seven sets of tekiya, trua, tekiya. And there was never more than 48, meaning 16 sets of three of tekiya, trua, tekiya. Now the Mishnah explains that bechol yoyim hayusham esrim va'achas tekiyos v'mikdash. Every single day, there was always, on a standard day in the Beis HaMikdash, standard days had 21 blasts. There were shalosh l'psichas sha'arim. There were three blasts, a tekiyah trua tekiyah, when they would open up the shaar in the beginning of the day to announce to the kehanim and to the levim that it's time to start the avodah. So you had those three blasts. Uteisha l'tamit shal shachar. There were another nine that were blown during the Shir Shal Yoim that was sung during the Nisach HaMayim and during the Nisach HaYayin of the Tamid Shal Shachar. So during the Shir Shal Yoim, there were trumpets that were blown. So that's these Teisha L'Tamid Shal Shachar. V'Teisha L'Tamid Shal Bein Arbayim, also another nine, three sets of three of Tekiyah Trua Tekiyah by the Tamid Shal Bein Arbayim. Also then, when they sang to the Shir Shal Yoim, so that was another nine. So nine and nine. Nine by the Tamid Shal Shachar, nine by the Tamid Shal Bein Arbayim is 18, plus the three in the beginning of the day, that's how we get to 21. So that was a standard day in the Beis HaMikdash, you had these 21 blasts. Uve Musafin, meaning on a day that there was a Karba Musaf, on Rosh Chodesh, let's say, or on Shabbos, where you had a Karba Musaf, so then besides these 21, Hayu Maisifin Oitesha, there was another 9 during the Shir by the Karba Musaf. So that'd be a total of 30. The 21 that we described already before, plus these 9, that's a total of 30. Ube'erev Shabbos, on any Erev Shabbos in the Beis HaMikdash, so Hayu Maisif in Sheish, there was an additional 6. So if it was a standard weekday, it wasn't 21, rather it was 27. If it was a day that there was also a Karba Musaf, let's say Rosh Chodesh, that fell out on Erev Shabbos, so then instead of being 30, it was 36 blasts. Now why were there these 6 blasts on an Erev Shabbos? So explains the Mishnah, Shalosh Lahavdil Asa'ami Mulacha, V'Shalosh Lahavdil Ben Kodesh L'chol. There were 3 to tell the people that it's time to stop doing malacha, and 3 to tell them that now it's actually Shabbos. So that's where you had these, two sets of 3 of Tekiah Truah Tekiah. Now says the Mishnah that Erev Shabbos, Shabbos Soicha Chag, when Erev Shabbos was during Sukkot, so then Hayusham Arba'im Vishmaina. That's when we had the most amount of tekiahs that we would have all year round. That's when we had 48. How did we get 48? So the Mishnah is going to tell us the whole cheshbon from the beginning. Shalosh L'Psicha Sha'arim. There was a 3 by the Psicha Sha'arim like we had every day. Shalosh L'Shara Elyon. Then there was a 3 that the Kehanim would blow when they got to the Shara Elyon that we had in the Mishnah before on an Aleph from a base, that these Kehanim on their way out to get the water for the Nisach HaMayim, so they blew 3 times by the Shara Elyon. The Shalish L'Shara Tachtoid, another 3 times when they got to the Shara leaving the Ezras Nashim. U'Shalish L'Miloy HaMayim, when they filled up the waters that we had earlier on Mem Chesam and Aleph, they also blew 3 blasts. U'Shalish L'Gabi Mizbeach, and there was another 3 when they would put the Aravis up over the Mizbeach that we had earlier on Mem Heim and Aleph. Teisha L'Tamid Shel Shachar, and then back to the regular daily ones, there was 9 by the Tamid Shel Shachar, V'Teisha L'Tamid Shel Bein Arbayim, V'Teisha L'Musafin. And then, being that it was Erev Shabbos, so after the Musaf, you had Shalish L'Havdil Asa'am Min HaMalacha, you had 3 to tell the people to stop doing Malacha, U'Shalish L'Havdil Bein Kodesh L'Chol, and then 3 to tell them that it's actually Shabbos, so that's, if you do the math, that gets you to a total of 48. Now says the Gemara that Masnisin do like Rebbe Yehuda, that our Mishnah seems to not go like Rebbe Yehuda. The Tani we learned in the Braisa that Rebbe Yehuda said when describing these blasts, these tekiyos that they had in the Beis Hamikdash, that apoyches lo yifches misheva v'hamaisif lo yosef al sheish esrei, that there was never less than 7 blasts and never more than 16. So that's not like what we said, that there was never less than 21 and never more than 48. So says the Gemara b'Maika Mifligi, what's the Machlokes? Rabbi Yehuda Savar Tekiah Truah Tekiah Achasi. Meaning what the Gemara is going to explain is that really there's not a Machlokes in Metzias. It's not a Machlokes practically how many times they blew the shofar. Everybody agrees that they blew the shofar 7, that they blew the trumpets a minimum of 7 sets of 3. Of 7 sets of Tekiah Truah Tekiah, and never more than 16 sets of 3. Than 16 sets of Tekiah Truah Tekiah. It's just that Rabbi Yehuda counts the 7 sets as 1 each, so he says it's a minimum of 7 and a maximum of 16, whereas the Chachamim count the Truas and Tekiahs all separately, so they consider this 21 blasts and 48 blasts. So what's the Machlokes? The Gemara says that Rabbi Yehuda Savar Tekiah Truah Tekiah Achasi, he holds that it's all considered like one mitzvah, V'Rabbanan Savri Tekiah Luchod Truah Luchod, then no, it's each its own separate mitzvah, and therefore it gets counted separately. My time with Rabbi Yehuda, why does Rabbi Yehuda consider it all one? What's his makar? Amar Krah, because the pasuk says uskatem trua. So it says you're supposed to blow b'lashon tekiah a trua. So which one is it? Is it a tekiah or is it a trua? It must be. You see from here that even a trua is called a tekiah. It's all really one. It's just two. It's just different parts of the same blast, but it's all really one blast. V'rabbanan, what did the Rabbanan do with this pasuk? V'rabbanan ahu l'pshuta l'faneu l'achareu da'asa. The Rabbanan say that no, uskatim trua is coming to teach us that there's supposed to be a tekiah before the trua, and they also have a limud that there's supposed to be a tekiah after the trua. So it's not describing one blast, it's describing different blasts. That's the makar that we know that there's supposed to be a tekiah before and after the trua. So says the Gemara v'Rabbi Yehuda l'fanel l'achre minale. And where does Rabbi Yehuda learn it out from that there's supposed to be a tekiah before and after the trua? Nafkulei mishenis. He learns it out from that which the pasuk says uskatem trua shenis. The extra word shenis teaches us about this tekiah before and after. V'Rabbanan ma'itamayu. Now, why is it that the Rabbanan hold? Why are they so confident that it's considered separate? That you're supposed to count them separately. They're separate mitzvahs. Dechsiv, as the pasuk says, It's the pasuk's describing when they would blow the trumpets to gather the Am to Moshe Rabbeinu, when Moshe Rabbeinu had something to tell them, so they would blow the trumpets, and the pasuk says, "Uvahakos akahal tisku v'loy sariu." It says you should blow a tekiah and not a trua. So the Rabbanan reasoned like this: and if you're going to tell me that a tekiah and a trua, it's all really one mitzvah, it's all one mitzvah. So amarachmana palga the mitzvah avidu palga loy avid. So how could the Torah say do the tekiah not the trua, do half a mitzvah not the other? That doesn't make any sense. It must be that separate mitzvahs, and then you could say that the Torah in this situation was saying to do the tekiah and not to do the trua. Rav Yehuda, what's Rav Yehuda going to say back to this pasuk? He's going to say back that Ahula Simana Ba'almahu Da'asa. That pasuk's not describing a mitzvah. Then they didn't blow as a mitzvah, they just blew as a Simana Ba'alma. It was just a way of getting everyone's attention that come to Moshe Rabbeinu, he has something to share. That wasn't a tekiah of a mitzvah, but male, it's not a problem to split it up. V'rabbanan say back to that simanahu, enochanami, you're right, it is a simen, but now v'rachman ishavya mitzvah. But now that the Torah is saying to do it, so now it's a mitzvah, and therefore it can't be that the Torah would split it up. So seemingly, as of now, there's no nafkamina lahalacha between Rabbi Yehuda and the Chachamim. They're just having a machlekes in semantics. Do you call this 7 tekiyos, or do you call it 21? Do you call it 16 tekiyos, that there was never more than 16? Or do you call it 48? But as we'll see now from the Hemshech of the Gemara, that there might actually be a nafkamina lahalacha between Rabbi Yehuda's understanding, that it's all one mitzvah, and the Rabbanan who say that they're separate mitzvahs. And the Gemara says like this, Keman azla hada amar Rav Kahana. Like, who does the following member of Rav Kahana go like? Rav Kahana said that aim vain tekiah l'trua v'leiklum. That when the kohen, I think it is, that he blows the chatzoytzos, so when he blows it, he's not supposed to make a hefsik, he's not supposed to stop anything more than just to take a short breath between the tekiah and the trua. But they're supposed to be all together. So that has the mashmais, that it's all really one mitzvah. So says the Gemara, that's command Rabbi Yehuda. That's like Rabbi Yehuda. It's the fear Rabbi Yehuda that it's one mitzvah, so there's a nafka mina lahalacha that the kohen shouldn't pause in between the tekiah and the trua. The fila chachamim, you could pause. Lefi Rabbi Yehuda, you're not supposed to pause. So the Gemara is saying that this member of Rav Kahana seems to feel like Rabbi Yehuda. Says the Gemara Pshita, obviously this Memra is going like Rabbi Yehuda. Why does the Gemara have to ask this as a question? L'chayr it's Pasha that this Memra is going like Rabbi Yehuda. Says the Gemara, Ma'u detemo, I could have thought to say that no afilu k'rabanan. Now, no, this member is even like the Rabbanan. Ulafuke mid Rabbi Yochanan, and it's coming to be lafuke from that which Rabbi Yochanan said. The Amar Shama Teisha Tekiyos, but Teisha Shais B'Yoyim Yatsa. Rabbi Yochanan was mechadish that if a person hears 9 Tekiyos on Rosh Hashanah during 9 different times of the day, he doesn't have to hear the Tekiyah Trua Tekiyah, Tekiyah Trua Tekiyah, Tekiyah Trua Tekiyah altogether. He can have long breaks in between each one of the blasts. So that was Rabbi Yochanan's chiddush. Kamash Malan, so I could have understood that the Kamash Mon and Rav Kahana is that he's saying that no, ain't bein tekiah trua v'loy klum, that you're not supposed to be mafsik between the tekiah and the trua. He's going like the Rabbanan, and he doesn't mean that you're not supposed to be mafsik even a little bit. He just means you're not supposed to be mafsik and hear them throughout the whole day. He was coming to be lafuke mid Rabbi Yochanan. That's how you could have understood the memory of Rav Kahana. So says the Gemara v'im al-Khanami. So maybe that is all Rav Kahana meant. So how do you know that Rav Kahana was going within the sheet of Rabbi Yehuda? Maybe he was going within the sheet of the Rabbanan and coming to be lafuke mid Rabbi Yochanan. So says the Gemara, no, because im kain, my v'loy klum. V'loy klum is mashma, that you're not supposed to be mafsik mamish at all. Only kadei neshima. You're not supposed to have even a little bit of a hefsik. Lafi the Rabbanan, even if you're coming to be lafuke mid Rabbi Yochanan, but what's wrong with having a little bit of a hefsik? So from v'loy klum, it's mashma that we're going like Rabbi Yehuda. That Rav Kahana was going like Rabbi Yehuda, that it's all one mitzvah, mamela, you're not supposed to be mafsik even a little bit.